Mic effect.
What?
What the fuck is going on?
I'm not editing that out at all.
Microphone check 212.
Oh, Lord.
It's like all the words were trying to come out at the same time. And
that's
it's like
exactly what Welcome back to Reject Sorority. This is episode 10. I'm Des.
Yes, I'm Myra.
I'm Letty.
And we are Reject Sorority.
Again?
Oh, did I say it already?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it.
Okay.
I'm half a bottle of Ciroc in right now, so
yes,
why not? We are going. And I'm hungry. I'm hungry as fuck, so. Waiting for the pasta.
Because we couldn't make up our mind who bought the Hot Pockets.
Okay, so these, I swear to God.
Side story.
There is a conspiracy going around. Apparently, these two bought the same exact packages of Hot Pocks, and they each bought two of them.
Hot Pocks?
Hot Pocks.
Okay, you're a fucking bro now. Hot Pocks. Hey, let's get some
pockets.
Hot Pocks.
I'm stoned already. So they bought two separately.
This is a story.
I'm trying to talk about it.
Hold
Don't up. Interrupt me.
Hold on. Walmart has Hot Pockets two packages for $5. So that combined in Desiree's attention. So we both bought two boxes. Okay, now continue.
No, you might as well just tell. You already interrupted me.
I just wanted to say that part because it was really
So cute. Basically, tonight, before we started recording, I'm hungry. And I was like, oh, look, I have Hot Pockets because I was going to make my chicken nuggets. But I was like, there's Hot Pockets. So I started making the Hot Pockets. And then Myra was like, oh, I have Hot Pockets too. And then she came into the kitchen and realized that I was making supposedly her Hot Pockets.
But not
I feel
supposedly. Like
my
those
hot
are my Hot
because
Pockets.
Because I bought two packages of Hot Pockets and I
so
only ended up eating one.
So here's the conspiracy. I think one of them is lying. I think only one of them bought boxes of Hot Pockets and they're just too afraid to say, I just want to eat a fucking Hot Pocket, so I'm going to eat yours.
No,
I bought Hot Pockets.
It was the same day
I am gonna go
that
look
the guy
for my
at the cash register told me that he was like,
that was like
so
a week
mom,
ago.
You
she
have,
totally
it was
ate
not,
her Hot Pocket.
It was not a month ago. It was like,
I said a week ago. Where is that a month from?
I don't know.
I will say if you did buy it a week ago, I'm pretty sure you ate them.
Right? I haven't even been home.
So. Oh, she's right.
I have not been home.
I literally bought two of them.
I was in Vegas for 3 days, and then I've been at work since I've been home. Literally, I've slept, woke up, and left. Like, that's
are you sleep eating?
I ate my first box that I took one for breakfast. No, I ate one that night, and then I took one for breakfast for work. And so I had one more box.
So you just said you ate one box and then you
no,
ate the second box?
One out of the box was for that night. And then the other one was next morning for breakfast.
I can't reach my drink. My mic is in my way. I don't like where this table is positioned.
Buy a new table.
Right? or rotate your chair a little bit.
Don't push me.
More that way. Girl, I will move your whole chair with you in it.
I'd love to see this.
No!
I'm just kidding.
Don't break my chair. It's made of wicker.
Trust me, I've seen both of my brothers wrestle in one of those. I think you're fine.
This one's from Pier 1. I don't know. It's like buying things from IKEA.
Don't know. Ooh.
Anyways, today I feel like we are all in a higher mood than where we started earlier. And so it's going to make this topic a little bit more different. And we are discussing how we have been as far as expressing our vulnerability and how we want to be better at expressing our vulnerability. So I guess we'll just start with the question, what is vulnerability to you guys?
Well, to me, vulnerability is how do you explain? Honestly, growing up, I mean, it's changed a little bit, but growing up, vulnerability meant weakness.
Okay.
And meant you're weak. You're the weakest link. So if you were vulnerable, then you were weak. If you were weak, then you would get a lot of shit come your way. If people wouldn't, you know, pick on you, jump you, fight you, throw shit at you, steal your shit, whatever it was. It's just the way we grew up in the hood. Like,
so it was seen as negative.
It was seen as negative. Now I'm starting to learn that vulnerability is actually something that helps you deal and process situations in life. So,
okay.
I'm still not very well, very like good at it.
But it's a process.
But it's a process.
I feel like vulnerability for me just gives opportunity for people to harm me in any way. Like, I know for me, in things that I've gone through, I feel like it's easy for people to, like, it's something that people can take advantage of.
Okay.
Like, so kind of like a weakness.
Still negative.
Negative. Like, it shouldn't be negative, because I don't feel that way about it, but that's how it makes me feel. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
It does. I think vulnerability for me, I think I can contest to having the same experience with it as it being like a negative thing. But as like, I would say probably in like the last 6 or 7 years, I've learned that it's something that's needed in life, because to constantly like keep that wall up and be like the hard one all the time is a negative thing. And it does something to you internally. And then, on top of that.
Come on, you're already crying?
No, my nose.
We haven't even
itching.
Got to that part
my
yet.
My nose is itching. On top of that, I am an empath. Like, I've always been an empath. And so being younger, like, I've always, like, felt when someone else in the room was upset or sad. And you guys have expressed multiple times on the show that I cry at, like, the drop of a hat. And literally, like, today, we had those questions that I wanted to go over. I was sitting in my room, and I was watching Rhythm and Flow, which isn't even a sad fucking show. It's not.
Wait, what?
Rhythm and Flow.
I watched that whole show. Not one time did I cry.
I cried every episode because I can feel like, I feel like I can feel what they're feeling. Like these people are working really hard towards something that they want, that they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And for a couple of them, you can tell it was just about the glitz and the glam. But then there was like a few to where you're like, damn, you really want this. Like, you enjoy expressing yourself artistically like this. And it's like, it means something to you. You're really, really passionate about it. And I can feel that. And so like, I've always been like empathetic and sympathetic at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like other people have seen that as a weakness, but I don't think that I've seen it as a weakness, if that makes sense.
Does it make you feel some type of way when someone presents it to you as a weakness, or you see that they're judging you while you're doing it and making you feel like it's a weakness?
No, because I know that it has something to do with them and not with me.
Okay.
A lot of the times, like, things are based on perception. Mm-hmm. So,
is that you now, or is that you back?
That me in the last couple of years, yeah. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, probably like early 20s, teenage years, like, I didn't want anybody to see me weak. And I think the hardest thing for me now is when I do express vulnerability, I don't want people to be, I don't like sympathy.
Yeah.
I'm okay with people empathizing, but I don't want people to feel sorry for me.
Yeah.
So when it comes to anything that has to do with me personally, when I'm personally sad or personally hurt, if people can empathize and be like, oh, damn, like you're going through this, like, I'm sorry you're going through that. But like, for example, OK, like when my dad died, I got a lot of sympathy. I didn't want the sympathy.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to go through what I was going through, but at the same time, I felt like I needed to let people know. And I could say, like, honestly, that was the very first time I ever posted on social media about something that was going on so deep in my life. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, when memories fucking pop up, those are like, I'm like, oh God, just like scroll past it. Cause I'll end up, whenever I have a memory, I always go into the comments like, oh, who was in my life at that time?
Yeah.
And then like, when I do go into those comments and you see all these people like, sorry for your loss, I'm like, I don't like that sentence. I don't like that, like, I don't know what it is, just like, I'm sorry, like, it's just like, you didn't do anything wrong, I just feel this way, just understand that this is how I'm feeling. If you have like positive words to say or whatever, I'll accept it. Yeah. But if you're like apologizing for something that you didn't do, or
I don't know, because I don't know how to be empathetic, like honestly, I've caught myself saying, oh, that shit sucks. you know? And I don't mean it like to be mean, but it's like, it. I mean, it does suck, yeah. But I didn't mean to say it in front of you. That was just a thought that came out of my mouth and the filter that's non-existent.
Yeah.
You know? And I hate to be like, oh, are you okay?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
So sometimes I'm just like, I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry for your loss. Like, I'll say shit like that because that's like the common thing to say. And I know whatever's in my head is probably worse than that.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to like make anybody feel like I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
But that's like me being like the cautious Myra. Because if whatever's in my head is going to be like, fuck,
you did. But is that how we take it? Like, take it as, like, somebody's feeling sorry for us when that's not their intention?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's how we receive it when clearly that's not what it is.
I mean,
like,
at the end of the day, I think it depends on, whatever you say, it depends on how she's feeling at the moment.
Right.
How she's going to receive it.
Right.
So
perception.
Yeah. Right. So I think saying something is better than saying nothing.
Yeah.
Because now, what if people found out you didn't like that and nobody said anything?
Yeah, that would probably still
that
be
would suck. That would hurt even more. It's like, fuck, I really am alone in this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like just to look at it in a different perspective. Because, like, I'm telling you, we all know I'm not good at expressing feelings that hit emotionally. So I want to reach out and I want you to know I'm here, but I really don't know what words to say. So I'm just going to go with the common ones, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, I would have been like, oh, shit, that sucks. You'd be like, bitch.
I just said that to somebody today. Like,
you said, oh, that sucks to somebody?
No, I said, sorry for your loss today.
Yeah.
Because a friend of mine's grandmother passed away and he had posted something. So immediately I was like, I felt compelled to be there.
Me too.
So I said, look, I'm sorry that this is happening. I know she was really important to you. So I'm just sending you good vibes and some love for you.
Like, yeah.
I would have never thought of that whole sentence. I would have been like, prayers, sorry for your loss.
Prayers. But I can understand that emoji.
I send those a lot.
Yeah. And I can see that on the other times because I've been on the flip side of that and hearing somebody say that. And yeah, like, it feels weird because you're emotional and you feel like people are taking pity on you.
Yeah.
But that's not what it really is. I think people are just genuinely trying to be there for you and... like, nobody knows how to talk about death.
Yeah.
Like, that it's a very sensitive subject that's difficult for anybody.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
maybe that's something we need to focus on. I can't say much,
but this is what I can say.
Maybe that's something we need to focus on.
As far as what?
Instead of, I don't like how when people say this, it's like, okay, well, why am I receiving it that way?
Yeah.
Maybe they just want to make sure that I know that they're there or that they paid attention or, you know what I mean? That you can
or it could have been just simple, like you were yourself were having a bad day and you just feel like, why would they say that?
Yeah,
that's not what they meant.
Yeah,
but why the fuck they say that? So maybe, there's a root to everything, I think.
So real quick, I wanted to give the definition of these words, vulnerable and vulnerability, which we kind of talked about earlier. So the definition of vulnerability: the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. And then the definition of vulnerable is capable of being emotional or physically wounded. So those definitions in themselves are negative as fuck.
Yeah.
It's already like telling you, like, don't do it.
Yeah, they sound like you're about to get hurt, so maybe you should refrain.
So how do we restructure the word of vulnerability in a positive way?
Or just redirect what it means. I think I'm a sucky example for this. So I struggle so hard with being vulnerable. It's just, I don't know.
But it's because, like, you grew up in a certain environment to where being vulnerable was bad.
Yeah.
And the definition just goes back to show that it is a bad thing. So how can we enforce adults that have been told for so long that it's a bad thing that, you know, it's actually a good thing?
Yeah.
I think as an adult, you should already be careful who you surround yourself with. You should already have a good understanding of who's on your corner, and who you could be vulnerable with certain topics. It's what I'm learning now, because I'm not in the environment where that taught me that that was negative and it was bad and you would get beat up for.
Right.
You know, I'm not in that environment anymore, and I'm not that child. I am an adult. I choose who I have around me, and I know that if I am vulnerable, it's not a weakness. It's more of a connection of how you can relate to that person. So that's how I'm redirecting it for myself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same way. It's not, like I said before, like the world makes you feel like it's a bad thing.
Right.
But it's not. It's a very good thing. Because I know in moments where I have had to be vulnerable, or where I said something and I'm just like, I can't believe that came out of my mouth. Like, it felt good. It felt better. Oh, something always came from it. It may not have been instantaneous, but something later came from it.
A deeper bond or deeper connection with someone.
And it was just, it opened the floor for somebody else to speak about something similar. Yeah. So it kind of was like, I'm not by myself. So that vulnerable feeling, I feel like kind of the negative vulnerability kind of melted away and it turned into something else. It was like, I can't even describe it. It's just basically being more open.
Yeah.
Being more transparent and being more honest with yourself because you said it out loud. Mm-hmm. And somebody else heard it and was able to reciprocate that.
I think we as women have to be careful, just because if we are in a toxic relationship, if we are in an environment where, you know, there's a women that are petty, or, you know, whatever, just other men, or just people that are petty. If you're going to put yourself in a vulnerable position in front of that type of person, you can get hurt.
Yeah. And sometimes those things you don't even realize are happening.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's just something you find yourself in, and it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
No.
You don't really have that much control over it.
No.
So kind of based off of what you just said, you said women need to be careful, right? And I think a lot of the times, especially like when we're entering relationships with men, we want them to be more vulnerable with us. Mm-hmm. And that
so we'll be more vulnerable.
Right. And there's such a stigma against men being vulnerable.
Yeah.
That it's like the biggest thing that I have nephews, and I am so against the whole entire men don't cry, boys don't cry when they're like upset. Like that just like is the ultimate, like, if you want to get me to snap, tell me boys don't cry. because I'm going to be like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, it comes to the position to where we encounter men that only know like happiness, numbness, or anger. Like, they don't know anything else in between. Mm-hmm. As soon as they get like sad, they either shut down and become numb, or they get angry because they're mad, and they don't really know exactly how to express the wide variety of emotions that human beings have, because they're constantly told that men don't cry. So as far as that, like, what do you guys think that women can do more in order to encourage men to be vulnerable and not see it as a weakness?
Comfort. Like, you have to make sure that that they feel comfortable enough in anything that they say. I've done it myself in my earlier relationships, where if a guy said something that was kind of vulnerable, I kind of was like, man, stop being a little bitch, you know?
And that's what they're used to hearing.
Yeah.
And I'm being straight serious. I did tell my boyfriend that. My ex-boyfriend that. Like, you know, you're being a little sissy, la la, was my favorite thing to say. You know, and I think that didn't help it. That doesn't help him being comfortable enough to say, well, if I say this, she's going to look at me as a little bit. And I've always been like a little tough one too. So it's like, she's not going to be the tough one in this house or whatever, you know?
Yeah, they need to be stronger than you.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is like, you need to make sure that your partner feels that they don't have to be strong when they come home. They can be vulnerable. You have to accept, even if they tell you something that might bother you a little bit, but they're being vulnerable. You know, obviously, if you can't tell what's vulnerability and what's not, well, then that's a whole different topic. But if they're being vulnerable and they're opening up to you about something, like, let them do it.
Yeah.
And just kind of, like, process it and process the feeling, emotions and feelings that they're going through while they're saying it before you jump into it.
Yeah.
Because that I'm telling you, that was me.
Yeah. I think also being transparent yourself, like, leading by example.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard, but you can't expect anybody to, one, trust you or love you if you can't.
Kind of like mirroring what you want to see.
Exactly. Like, you, how do you expect someone else to open up to you when you're not open?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like
that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I know we've been talking about kind of turning another leaf for our shows and opening up to our audience a little bit more. And how do you guys think that we can all do better at opening up and being transparent with our audience so they can connect with us more?
I honestly think to be more vulnerable, we just have to share more of our deep stories, because you can't just, okay, today I'm gonna be vulnerable, yay, you know? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, you know, we have to focus on one thing and really dig deep into it.
Yeah,
so something consistent.
Something consistent. Maybe take more time on one subject instead of opinions. I mean, it's hard for me, period. Mm-hmm. I can think of a lot of great ideas, but when it comes down to it, it's going to be hard. So hopefully, you know, if I could push through it being as hard as it is for me, then hopefully somebody else can push through it too. And, you know, there's a lot of my friends that listen. So they're going to definitely send me a message like, did you just do that on the
Hold podcast? Her ass accountable.
Holy shit.
If anything, yeah.
You know?
I think, so. Yeah. I'm along the same lines as you as far as it's just going to be difficult, because I have a habit of making a joke about everything that happens to me.
Hence the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Hence why a lot of the, like, if I feel like the energy is getting too heavy in the room,
giggling.
I start giggling or I say something funny because I feel like we need a little bit of relief.
Got it.
Like maybe 75% of the time we don't need that. Maybe the other percentage of the time I just need to
allow it to happen.
And I think that's my way of avoiding it. Mm-hmm. And that's my way of changing the topic so I wouldn't have to talk about myself.
But also remember, people who have made a living off of laughing off of trauma are also the same people who have committed suicide.
Exactly.
So it's important.
Scares me.
It's important to allow yourself to feel. It's so important to allow yourself to feel the feelings and allow yourself to feel supported in those feelings. Because if you constantly allow yourself to make jokes out of those feelings, you're just making them
just throwing a blanket over them.
Until the blanket catches on fire, exactly. And then you have no more blanket.
I mean, I've locked myself in the room in a bathroom and tried to hurt myself before. So it's one of those things that's kind of like, there's a reason why I do it.
Yeah.
But there's also a big reason why I shouldn't.
You shouldn't. Exactly. Yeah.
I disappear and I make myself really, really busy. And I just avoid everybody and everything. Like, I'm just too busy. Like, what are you doing? I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. And it doesn't allow me to think. It doesn't allow me to be vulnerable because I'm too busy focused on what's next and what's coming and what's going. Yeah. And
I remember us telling you that once, and you got pissed off and tried to tell us no.
Because I didn't want you to figure me the fuck out. But it is what I do. I get super busy. And, you know, I mean, there's times where I'm busy because I'm busy. Mm-hmm. But when I feel vulnerable or I feel like I need to be vulnerable, I redirect it to something else.
Yeah. We deflect.
Yeah.
Well, I think when I'm bothered, you guys probably see it more than people outside of the house just because you guys live with me. But, like, even yesterday was a really difficult day for me. Like, Letty asked me when I came downstairs and was it yesterday or was it Sunday?
When we had the meeting?
Yeah.
It was yesterday.
My days are blending together. So when I talked to you guys on Monday, like, it was a very difficult day for me because I had, like, No, it was Sunday. I'm
sorry.
Yeah,
I was like, I wasn't here all day yesterday.
It was Sunday.
Oh.
That's how bad my days are blended.
You too. So there was twice that I've seen you like that. I was concerned.
You didn't see me yesterday. You see me for like 2.5 seconds. No,
when we were down here having the meeting.
That wasn't yesterday.
That was Sunday.
Yes, it was.
I wasn't here all day
Where the yesterday. Fuck am I?
Not yesterday. I was like, I was not
here. We record on Tuesdays, yesterday. You guys, just so you know. Today is Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday. The day before that was Sunday. We had a meeting. And I came downstairs and Letty had asked me if I had been crying. And I was. And I think I'm able to put a mask on for people who don't see me every single day. But you guys see me every single day.
Yeah.
So it's like, a lot of people who listen to the show, I have a lot of friends that listen to the show, and they'll be like, they keep calling you like a crybaby, and they're saying you're sensitive, and I don't see it, and it's because they don't live with me.
Yeah.
And before it was you guys, it was my last roommate, Nancy, and Nancy, she is a little bit more sensitive than me, so, but when she seen me since, like, she didn't know what to do. She was like, you are crying. What the fuck is happening? This is not you. Like, what's happening? But at the end of the day, I think we are lucky enough. Because if we all lived in individual houses, we'd be going through this stuff alone. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, we have each other to look at each other and be like, your energy's off. You're angry. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, she questioned at me when
like,
she
hold
angry.
On. Why haven't I seen you? Why are you in hiding? What's going on? Like, we have each other to bounce that off of. And I know for most people our age, they have a spouse. But we have each other, so I'm just gonna say in that sense we're lucky enough to have each other and be under one roof, so when we are going through things we could kind of, even when we don't want to talk about it, Myra, we can still call each other out, even off the mic, on the mic, and just be like, hey, what's going on?
But even if I don't want to talk about it and you guys do ask, that still means something.
Right.
Because someone's asking.
Somebody's noticing. Yeah.
Just like we had a conversation earlier. Like maybe no matter what someone says, if it's something that's positive towards your situation, don't take it badly because they at least took the time and have you in their thoughts.
Right.
Yes.
So when someone asks you, are you okay? You could say no all you want, but at least they care enough to ask. And they're obviously there for the answer when you're ready to give it.
Exactly.
So from now on, you're going to see me cry once, maybe twice, maybe more.
Oh, yeah, because we're doing visuals today, you guys. We're doing visuals. So we're working
round
on the visuals.
One of trying to get the videos
edited. Camera.
Remember, the camera adds 10 pounds.
Just kidding. Yes. I'm really not this thick in person, y'all.
Hey, they got nice little side views. I got like the middle. Like, there's no hiding. This
you chose to have a big seat, Myra. You chose to have a big seat.
Yours is big, too.
Mine's big. Yeah, backstory about this whole setup that was pissing me off because we decided that we were going to get our own chairs as visuals.
To match our personalities.
Tell me the
and
biggest
I'm over
chair
here,
doesn't match me.
I'm over here thinking in my head, like, oh, we're just going to get cute little lounge chairs that we're going to sit in that's going to be, like, different colors. And no, Desiree pops up with this big old, what's it called, the pompasan?
Pompasan. That literally matches my yoga pants, so you guys know it's my fucking favorite color.
So she shows up with that, and then Myra shows up with like
a sofa chair,
half a love seat.
Half a love seat.
This is why I didn't see it.
And then I'm like, oh, you do not understand how many times I had to move this shit around with the equipment, take it down, put it back up. And at one point
I was here.
Like,
we talked about that on another episode.
That was one time you were here for that. I had moved this around three different times and it was, but by the last time that was when you saw it. Oh, and okay. I was just completely done.
I think Desiree's chair could be right here in the middle.
No.
Look at.
Because the cut, like yours is like whitish tan and Letty's is yellow and mine is teal. Oh, so saying. Like it would be like.
Well, I'm supposed to get a burgundy, like my shirt. Blanket or throw blanket.
A burgundy purplish?
Yeah.
Oh, Merlot like a wine, color. It's like Merlot. Type of,
you know. Yeah.
So I think in all what we're saying together is that we plan on being more vulnerable with you guys and opening up with you in the future about things that make us uncomfortable. so that you can understand that vulnerability is a positive and loving thing. And when it's done around the right people and you're supported, you can make it out of that position and emotion that you're feeling.
Yes, that part.
Yeah.
Do we want to go ahead and duck dive into our quote? Since we're...
Yes.
I don't know why I love the term duck dive so much.
It's funny because we were spent time looking for a quote and nobody found one.
I thought you found one.
I didn't.
It was hella long, remember?
Oh.
Obviously you didn't listen.
We can make
to
up
it.
A quote. We could totally make up a quote and then become quotable, and then I could post it on the Instagram and it'll be our quote.
On the Instagram.
I think every content in general is quotable, so
this is true.
Right. Somebody say the quote, because I'm hungry and our food's almost here.
Is it?
Yeah.
When is it going to be here?
I'm checking, because the last time I checked, it said 13 minutes.
So he should be here, like, now.
Yeah, he's coming down Navajo from the 125.
Yeah. Hey, don't give away our where we are.
Oh, my bad. They don't know where we live.
Edit.
We live in a good fucking neighborhood. That's all you guys need to know.
And they're like Navajo.
Got it. 125.
Navajo's County. A long road.
It is. Saying. It's a very long road. The quote today is, vulnerability is a positive thing, not a negative thing. Suck my dick if you think it's... I kid. That's
See,
a bad quote.
I was going to say,
that's a bad quote.
I have the problem making jokes.
Okay. Look.
Suck my dick
if you think me crying is a bad thing. No, I literally dated a guy who thought being vulnerable and transparent was gay. That was his quote.
What?
He said, it's gay. And I said, so you think being vulnerable is only for homosexuals? And he was like, yes.
I was like, honey, whether they're out or in the closet, they're still gay.
Right?
I was like, you're lucky you're cute. And I still dealt with him for like another 2 months. That's a terrible
Because
part.
He was cute?
Yes, and he had... I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, vulnerability, honey. Vulnerability.
No.
That's her type.
Right? Hold on.
She really doesn't want to talk about it. We just had
we
a
We all
whole...
know what she means.
Yeah, he was... He was packing and he made me feel good, okay, Myra?
That's what I want to hear, girl.
I know you do.
That's kind of what she wanted to hear. It wasn't the way she wanted to hear it, but
I wanted more.
I said it very PG.
I wanted more details and when
not,
and how many times.
I'm not
times.
Doing that. I'm not doing that. Let's see.
Why is it such a bad thing to talk
Ooh,
about sex?
Ooh, boom. First one that pops up. Being vulnerable is the only way to allow your heart to feel true pleasure.
I like that quote.
You like that quote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So now I get to discover a different type of pleasure by being vulnerable. And yes, it might be sexual. I'm just saying.
I feel like being sexual is being vulnerable. It's a different type of vulnerability.
You know what?
It is.
It is.
My mind just got blown. That's like the only...
Wow.
That's like the like, only time I'm vulnerable.
Right.
Wait, that's probably why I like sex.
Because that's the only
time that I'm completely allow
like,
myself to be vulnerable.
Feel free.
That's the only time I allow myself to be completely
well,
vulnerable.
Well, to be honest, when I have had the opportunity to have sex in this house, it has been very quiet because I feel like allowing you guys to hear me is allowing you to hear a different side of me that I don't want you guys to hear.
I feel like I can't help it, so sorry.
Wow. Back to what I was saying.
Sorry ahead of time.
I'm a heavy sleeper, so either y'all, I can't hear nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, I can hear nothing when it comes from your room. That's for sure.
I heard Myra nutting.
Nutting. Nutting. Nutting. But going back to what I was saying, it's the only time where I allow myself to be completely vulnerable.
Like you just let yourself loose. Yes.
Like I like to be submissive. I like to just let him do what he wants. I mean, obviously, I participate. But
she's calling herself a starfish, you guys.
Heck no, that's what I'm not. That's what I'm not. Because I enjoy the action, so I get all in it. Okay. But I'm actually vulnerable. Nothing like I'm not thinking of anything that would make me feel uncomfortable or anything. I'm just enjoying the feeling. I'm enjoying the person. I'm enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
And that quote just literally just like, oh, that's why you like that pleasure, because you're completely vulnerable. You open your heart, your emotions, your everything.
Imagine are you gonna if have you emotional did that sex every with day? Us, Myra?
Oh God.
Emotional sex. That's what we'll start calling it instead of vulnerability.
Emotional sex?
Let's emotionally hump each other.
That makes me feel weird.
when she said humping, it made me feel weird too. Emotional sex, I get it, but humping?
Okay, I'll take the humping out of it.
Okay, good.
Because there's sex and then there's dry humping. Like, you know, middle school,
high school. I remember dry humping.
You don't remember those days?
I do.
So it was like a different type of vulnerability.
When you were a virgin and you didn't know you wanted to have sex yet.
Dude.
I mean, I feel like you knew you wanted to have sex, but you weren't ready to move on.
Well, you were scared because everybody told you. Well, in my neighborhood, there was a girl that got pregnant at 13. So that was enough birth control for the rest of us, you know?
So we hope you guys tune in with us going
forward.
Forward. Yep, that word. As we dive more into our vulnerability and opening up about things that make us uncomfortable. And yeah.
It's just gonna get deeper from here. So
yeah. So bear with us.
Yes. Bring your tissues. And we're still gonna bring some fun stuff here and there, because you know, we don't need to always be sad. But
I'll explode.
You like what?
I said I'll explode.
well, real quick, let's just talk about what the main point of this podcast is for us. Mm-hmm. So the terminology reject sorority to us means that at some point in our lives, mostly currently, we have felt like we didn't belong in social circles when it comes to being around women, not being feminine enough, being around men, not being masculine enough, being around the upscale crowd, not feeling rich enough, being in the slums, not feeling poor enough. For any point in our lives where we just felt like no matter what we did, we did not fit in, we want people who feel like that to feel a connection with us, and we want to feel connected to you. When it comes to anything in our podcast, I feel like we try to be interactive with you guys on social media. So if you ever see a question and you don't feel entailed to respond, if something comes up later, feel free to inbox us. If you disagree with something that we say, inbox us. If you agree, inbox us. Rather it be on our IG, which is reject sorority, or on Gmail, rejectsorority@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. We want to connect with you. We want you to know that no matter what you're going through in life, there is someone who has gone through that or something similar to that. And we want to let you know that you're not alone.
And just remember, we all have access to these. So if you have a particular question because you relate to one of us more than the other, that's perfectly fine.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, just address it to that person and we'll get it. We'll read it, you know, and definitely reply, because what's the point of this podcast and us forcing myself forcing to be more vulnerable if, you know, if you can't relate to me, you know, or you can't reach me or ask me something that you've been trying to figure out, and so am I. You know, maybe we could figure it out together. So make sure that you do reach out to us, no matter if it's individually, together. Even if it's something you don't want us to share, just know we're here. As much as we're here for each other, we're here for you.
Yes.
So that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah.
With Letty's last words.
Go ahead, Letty.
This is her giggles when she doesn't want to be vulnerable.
That's my uncomfortable laugh. Like, yeah. I'm uncomfortable.
Her body language is so like, what do I do right now?
Yeah, I think that's just it. I just want everybody to feel like they belong. I mean, we've all gone through life kind of just being, rejected by normal terms.
Standards, yeah.
So for me personally, I've always felt the need to belong somewhere because I didn't belong anywhere. So exactly. I feel like this can maybe be a start for other people who feel that way. To like, you found your tribe. We're creating this.
We your tribe.
Yeah, yeah, we're your tribe.
And if nobody told you today, you're beautiful, you're kind, and we love you.
I is smart.
All right, you guys, have a good night.
Bye.